I'm like about 30-minute preacher, but we have our first introduction of our 7-minute preacher. I want you to stand up. You know what? There's people that, like, when they stand up, we see the person standing up. But as a leader and as people who see people growing in God, hitting bumps on the road, falling, getting back up, falling, getting back up. When the enemy thinks they have them licked, that they stand back up again and they walk with God. People who are submitted and committed to the purposes of God. And this is why I want to introduce you to Jason. Because he's committed and submitted and someone who's got up and got down and got back up again. Here's your 7-minute preacher. Come on.
I just want to say it's a privilege to be able to speak the word of God over you, and this is a word from the living God, the one true living God. In Adam and Eve believed the truth in believed the lie in Genesis 3. In Matthew 4, Jesus combated the lie with the truth of Scripture. He said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." It is also written, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." It is also written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Praise you, Lord. In Timothy 3:16, the scripture says, "All scripture is written, God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, for the man and woman of God to be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Amen. Resist the lie. Meaning for lie is to withstand, repel, repulse, stand firm, hold out, oppose, counteract, face, confront, fight, battle, contend with, stop, block, hinder. Believe the truth of the word of God. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus said, "I am." I thought of Moses when he was called. And he says, "Who do I say sent me?" And he says, "Tell him I am that I am. The God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who created all things." In John 1, or John says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. And the Word became flesh. And his name is Jesus, and he's the Savior of the world." Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I just want to say, he said, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and that nobody comes to my Father except through me." In 2 Peter 1:3-4, it says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him." When we know him, when we know who he is, that he gives us revelation of his truth into our lives through the word of God. Not through any other word, no program, no outside influence, only through the word of God. Only through this. And I'll just continue there. He says, and through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption caused by evil desires. In Colossians 2:6-8, he says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted, built up, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elements of spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ Jesus." And this is, I'm just finishing now. And this is a wonderful truth. In Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. But it talks about the belt of truth. And the belt of truth is Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word. And he's, like, I was thinking of Muhammad. Is it Rob? All right. No, Rob, to let me know. I'm not even looking at him. Well, Muhammad Ali was the heavyweight champion of the world. He said, "I am the greatest, I am the best." He defeated loads, yeah. But there's one greater. There's one greater, that he was the creator of heaven and earth. Who has, when Jesus came, the Bible says that he disarmed every principality and power and rule and authority. That he made a public spectacle of them. It's like when God sent Moses into the army of into Egypt. The Lord wiped out all of his armies, all of the horses, all of the chariots, all of the men. And Jesus, in the New Testament, came and destroyed every power of darkness over our nation, over Ireland, over Europe, over the world. Because he's greater than all. So praise God.
He still has 3 minutes. You want to give an altar call? Amen. Well done, Jay. That's what I'm trying to do, brother. That's what I'm trying to do. It's a son of the house. Over the months, you will see the sons and the daughters of the house up here and in Bray preaching God's word. Because it's my passion to raise up preachers. That what God has put in me is in you. And the voice and the vision that it doesn't. Someone said a couple of weeks ago in Bray, a solicitor friend who was visiting, Jay got up to pray. And he said to me afterwards, "Who was that fella?" And I says, "That's Jason." He says, "No, it was like listening to you." Eddie was preaching in Crinkin. Where's Eddie? You were preaching in Crinkin Church of Ireland last week. The pastor rang me through the day. He says, "No, it was like listening to you preach in this place." And I hope that's a compliment, Eddie. I hope that is something that rests in you, because God has placed a mantle on someone and it splashes off onto someone's. And it's great when the someone is up here, but the someone's passion is when the someone's is up here and the someone's is reaching Drimnagh and the someone's is reaching this city. That's what I'm about. It's not about what I am. It's about who we are in God's. And if I can encourage you, kick you, pull you, manipulate you, whatever it takes to get you to do what God has in you to do. That's what I want to do. Not to manipulate you, but I'm sorry, that was it. What are you laughing at? Hey man, let's pray. Father, it's like following T.D. Jakes after that fellow, Lord. Father, I bless you for truth. Father, smash every lie that we're living under. Smash every lie, Lord, this morning. You need a truth to combat that lie. That lie that says you're no good, that's a lie. And you need a truth to combat that. So that when the sun sets you free, we're really free, yeah? And you're committed to us, Lord, that you who began this work will carry it out to completion. And here we are, Lord, incomplete works on earth, but completely complete before you in heaven. Help us to live from our heavenly place. Amen. Amen. Let's get preaching. The clock is a bit far away up there, so Anne says we're way ahead of time. I says I'll ruin that completely in a few minutes. Amen. Well, you know, we're continuing our series. If you're visiting with us today, you've come in at a good time. Although we're about 5 or 6 sermons into a series called Illuminate. And Illuminate is about illuminating the basics of Christianity, the things that we should be believing in, who Jesus is, why did he die on the cross, who the Holy Spirit is, how does God guide us, all them type of things we've been teaching on the last couple of weeks. If you haven't been here at one of them, you can get onto www.liberty.ie, get onto the podcast, and it's all there for you in an instant. And you can catch up with us, and then you can if you come in and just hear today's sermon, you'll probably listen to something that is a bit of context on its own, but as you go along the series, you'll know where it fits in. You with me? Because I don't particularly like preaching on stuff that I'm preaching on today. I'm going to be preaching on and teaching on evil and the devil. So believe me, you don't start jumping whole lad now with this stuff. But it's important. It's important that we are not just somebody else in this world it doesn't exist. Or the devil doesn't exist, and we're watching all of his works all around us. How stupid can people be? And I say that with the full force of that word, that the devil has made us stupid in the world. And yet it's destruction are in our children. and our young people and our young men and our old men and our young women and old women and families be destroyed. And Jesus said, if you want to know what the devil's work is like, here's how to pin it. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. If you want to know what his MO is, his modus operandi, how he does things, that's what you look for. Where there's killing, where there's stealing, and where there's destroying. And I don't know. I wish we could beam on Sky News. It's 11 o'clock on the hour every hour. And I guarantee you for the first 5 minutes, the headlines would be disaster here. Murder here. Kids going into schools in America and shooting each other up. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I knew I'd put you all on a downer. But anyway, I want to tell you about God's plan before we get into this stuff. This is to educate us. One of the important reasons is that we need to know that God's plan is that the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified in what they call the church age. We are living in the age of the church. We are living in the age where God has chosen to reach this world through his church. Is this church a building? Is this church a denomination? Is this church some type of a group of rules and regulations? No, it's church as people. Living stones. That's what the Bible calls us. Living stones. Now, once we are probably like in Nehemiah that says that the stones of the city was broken and burnt. And the enemy of Nehemiah in the city when he was building the walls back up, he says, look at the state of the stones you're building with. They're broken, they're burnt, they're all marred and tarred. And the enemy of Nehemiah building the city, he says, look, how can you do anything with those stones? And in the New Testament, God takes broken, burnt, tarred and marred stones and he builds us up into a makes us living stones and builds us up into a temple where the presence and the glory of God dwells and moves out of. You're a living, beautiful stone. You might feel burnt and broken right now in some areas, but God's plan is to make you and to make that life that he's put in you come out to the outside. And so through the church age, it's God's plan to glorify his son Jesus through the church. So when someone says God doesn't want to use you, I want to tell you that's a lie from hell. Because God's passion is to use you to glorify his son. When people say that miracles don't happen today, I want to tell you it's another lie. Because if God is glorifying his son when he was on earth through miracles, because Jesus said, if you don't believe in my words, believe in my signs. Not my science, but my signs and wonders. So if he wants to glorify Jesus like that then, and the age of the church is to glorify Jesus, well then he wants to do it today. That should have been an amen. Amen. So for this reason, one of the Holy Spirit's main function during the church age is to glorify Jesus and make him known to all people. Listen to what John 16 says. But when he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Jesus says, he shall glorify me, for he will take what is of mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus in the church. So it's also the responsibility of the Christians to glorify Jesus by their own lives. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, gives us the power to live a different life than people that don't know Jesus. I don't know about you, but I always take a measurement. If I'm living like people that don't know Jesus and talking like people that don't know Jesus, there's something wrong with me. It's just a simple little thing. That if I'm supposed to be the light of the world and I'm acting and talking and sleeping, walking, living dull like everyone else that don't know Jesus, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with my submission to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus through us. The living church, yeah? Listen to what Ephesians says. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations forever and ever and ever. That to him be glory in the church. He wants to glorify his name in the church and through the church. I'm saying all this for a reason. So it's God the Father's passion to glorify Jesus through the church age. That's what we're living in. Now, It's Satan's strategy to block, hinder, nullify Jesus being glorified in the church and in our lives. It's everything that is beautiful and right and innocent and lovely in this world. Satan has sought to mar it and scar it and make it ugly. From babies right through to genocide of cities and nations. If it's God's heart and passion to glorify Jesus, it's Satan's strategy to nullify Jesus. And he has a strategy for this for unbelievers, and he has a strategy for this for believers. Corinthians says that he has a strategy for unbelievers, that he blinds them from the truth. How does he blind them from the truth? The best way of blinding someone from the truth is throw in a load of mistruths, half-truths, or no truths. So if you go around and you walk on the street of Dublin and you want to talk to someone about Jesus, I guarantee you'll get into an argument about religion. And what about this? And what about that? And what about what he believes? And what about what Confucius says? And what about what someone else says? And the confusion. And all people go, I don't even want to know anything about church. I don't want to know anything about religion. Why? Because it's so confusing that I might as well just stay blind. And then for a Christian, he doesn't care what he does as long as he distracts you as a Christian so that you don't glorify Jesus. So that you don't live out of what God has for you. If you're not living to your potential, he's happy with that. So we need to understand that there's an imposer. There's an opposition to what God wants to do in the church and through our lives. And his name is Satan. Evil is personified in the Bible. It's caught up in a being. It was found in him. And he influenced angels to rebel against heaven. He says to him, he says in Isaiah, the devil, Satan, Lucifer was his name. He was a glorious angel. The Bible says he was beautiful. That like when he moved, music came out of him. There was no one like him nearly. And pride was found in his heart. And he says in Isaiah, I will ascend. I will be like God. I will get God off the throne and I'll be seated in the heights. I will have the assemblies of heaven, all the angels, the archangels, the cherubims. I will have them all looking at me. And I'll kick the Almighty off of the throne. But what he forgot was that he was a created being. He couldn't kick the Creator off the throne. The Creator pulled the plug on him, cast him out of heaven. And other angels went with him. And from that time on, his goal is to distort, destroy, kill off, maim, make ugly what God has made beautiful. And we need to understand that the spiritual warfare is a reality. That evil goes on in the world most times because it's never contested by Christians. It's like evil happens and good men and women, Christian men and women sit back. And what's beautiful about what the girls are doing and dreaming, they're not sitting back. You look at them, three beautiful women. They're like, they haven't got big armor and tanks and guns and all that going up the dreaming. They're just saying, God, here we are. Will you use us? Will you bring us into that place that our very lives become something of beauty in the hands of God that goes into a place where evil is ruling and reigning? The reality of spiritual warfare and who evil is caught up in. You see it in the Old Testament. Job is a good man and the angels come before God's great read. Do you ever sit there and think, I wish I knew all that about what Noel is saying. Do you ever think that? It's just in the same Bible that you have in your lap. You know, we don't have to be ignorant. When you're a Christian and you're told every week to read your Bible, you're choosing to be ignorant if you don't do that. And I want to tell you, the devil doesn't want you to read your Bible. The one that is opposed to God using you to the max, he's like, don't read your Bible. Just stay ignorant. Just stay not unknowledgeable. And in Job, it says all the angels came before God and Satan came with them. The Old Testament speaks of the reality of warfare. The New Testament speaks of the reality of warfare. Paul says in Ephesians 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to take your stand against the devil's evil schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and rulers and against authorities and powers in the dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. In the Old Testament, we're told that this is a reality. And in the New Testament, we're told that this is a reality. Do you ever think why I'm not getting certain breakthroughs? Do you ever think, why does this keep on happening to my family? Maybe we're called to do something about it. The devil is never to be underestimated. He is cunning, he is evil, and he's a liar. And if he can get us to believe a lie, no matter how many millimeters we're away from the truth, he's happy. If you don't believe you're beautiful, wonderful, you're a walking, talking, living doll before God, you're going to believe a lie that you're ugly and you're no good. And you know what you will do? Act out. So we believe that the devil exists. Not only is there warfare, because the Bible teaches it. The Old Testament teaches it. Jesus confronted him. Jesus talked about him. Peter talked about him. He says, the devil, your enemy, is going around like a roaring lion, seeing who he can devour. That's why we're told to stay close as church people. If you watch any of those programs on television, wildlife programs, and the lion roars, doesn't he? Makes a run at them. And the whole herd of wildebeests. The old scarper. They don't go after the flock that scarpers. They look for the one that goes, I'm going my own way. And the lion starts getting the old salt and vinegar out. You don't go after all of them to go, we get that little sucker. We get the one that thinks they don't need the church. We get the one that's arrogant and think they can make it by themselves. We take the one that thinks, oh, I have her all together. He's like, yeah, and he's sharpening the knife at the same time. Yeah, you keep believing that. Never goes after the hair. You know why? Because there's strength when we're together. There's encouragement when we're together. Lies are exposed when we're together. And Peter says that this is what the devil is like. Paul tells us what he's like in Ephesians and why we should put on the full armor. All the Christians down through the history of church, the church fathers, they believed it was a devil. It makes sense that there's a devil. Just reason alone will tell you that evil exists and it has to come out of somewhere. Look around the world. Some of the mistaken views in the world is that there's no evil, there's no devil. If he could get us to believe that, he can do all of his business without any confrontation. And then there's some, even in the church, that has an unhealthy view or an unhealthy interest in what the devil is doing. You ask them what Jesus is doing, they can't tell you. Ask them what the devil is doing and he can give you, man, 20 sermons. You look around the world and this is how you know. People say the devil's doing this and the devil's doing this and the devil's doing this in the world. I want to tell you, Jesus is doing incredible things in the world. Just educate yourself. Don't believe what Sky News is telling you or just what the Christians with the long faces and the long mouths and the long hands and the long pockets. Don't believe what they're telling you. Because they always see a half empty. Oh, we're doomed, we're gloom. There's Christians, people coming to the Lord in Muslim countries at 1,000 a day. I'm not joking. Read this stuff. It's out there for you to read. Some have an unhealthy interest. There's a devil under every rock. No, there's not. Everything that goes wrong is the devil. No, it's not. Every time I give in to something, it's the devil. No, it's not. It's times when it is. But when we have an unhealthy view of him, he'll just use scare tactics all of the time. So what are some of the devil's tactics? His aim is to destroy. John 10:10, the first scripture I ever memorized. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give you life in all of its fullness. So he says, if you want to know what Jesus is doing, look for life in all of his fullness, or abundant life, or amplified, it says superabundant life. You want to know what the enemy is doing? Look around where they're steal, killing, and destroying. And where they're steal, killing, and destroying, we bring the abundant life. We say to people, no, there's hope. We say to people, no, there's a better way to live. We walk up to places like Drimna, places like Bray, places like this area, places like Clondalkin, and we say, no, there's hope. We see what the enemy is doing. Someone says to us a couple of weeks ago in the link group in Clondalkin, do you know what goes on out there? Do you know what's happening out there? And they were right. But what they were just seeing was the steal, killing, and destroying. But the viewpoint that we come from is that we bring life, super life, super abundant life. Hope, mercy, grace, restoration. The devil's tactics is to destroy. Destroy your faith. Destroy your family. Destroy your walk with God. Don't read the Bible. It's never come true for you. Destroy your reading. Can you hear him? He doesn't roar like jump out with big horns on his head. Oh, this is a subtle lie to the Christian. He blinds people, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He blinds the eyes of the unbelievers. Do you know, Jesus said you can't even see the kingdom unless you're born again. That's why because we have to get new eyes. He has to open our eyes. That's why John Newton wrote the lines, I once was blind, but now I can see. That's why we say stuff like, why didn't I become a Christian years ago? We are blind, that's why. Stone blind. And then when the Holy Spirit comes and opens our eyes, it's amazing what you see when your eyes are open. I remember seeing the sky was blue. I remember birds whistling. The simple things. The birds in the flats, they all up on the roof, they all had asthma. I become a Christian and all of a sudden they're singing like Handel's Messiah. I'm like, what in the world's going on here? Something happened. I remember going down on the back of it. This fella, Terry, that I led to the Lord, he was a foreign legionnaire. He used to be in a biker gang, the devil's disciples. I lead him to the Lord. We're driving along and he goes, look at the colour of that tree. It was, you know, that was one with purple leaves. You know them, they're up along, they're up in the Coombe Hospital there. And he was Terry. Oh my goodness, this is amazing. Like, devil skulls on the back of his jacket. That's just normal stuff, let alone when you see him, when he opens your eyes and when you're blinded and the enemy has you blinded and you just say, I'm loved by God. There's a hope for my life. There's a purpose for me existing on this earth. And then you get this revelation. I don't have to live in the pigsty anymore. I can go home to a father who will embrace me and love me. And then when you come into the father's house, you either end up like the prodigal son's brother who was out in the back garden. I've worked for you all my life, father, and you never gave me anything. That's because you're in the house and you're still blind. So you need to get the blinkers off and you know that my father, and this is how it works in our church life. God's blessed Jason's not blessing me. It's a lie. You're just a prodigal son's brother out in the garden. You need to come into the dad. You need to know that you have the best dad in the world. You need to know that your father can whip the father of this world any day of the week. If I was black, I would have clicked my fingers and all that. Lord, I just want to be able to click my fingers. Is there a lesson? Is there an app? Is there something that I can use? Every time I do it, I was like, come on, baby. I just want to click my fingers. I don't want to be 6 foot tall anymore. I don't want to look like young Keen anymore. I just want to be me, but I want to be able to click my fingers. The devil's tactics is doubt. Did God really say that? Did God really? That's what he said to Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say don't go near the tree? Did God really call you to do that? Did God really say he loves you? Did God really say he has a plan for your life? Did God really say you have to serve in this way? Did God really say you have to go there? And that's all he needs is that doubt. And that sends us on another rabbit trail. That's all it takes. He's subtle. It's so subtle. It's like, did he? Another tactic is temptation. He comes to tempt, to get us away, like Adam and Eve, temptation, to break the relationship with the Father, to cause us to hide in fear of our Father. That's his design of temptation, to cause us to fear God. I'm after letting him down, now I have to hide, I have to get a fig leaf, as if he could hide behind a fig leaf from God. I need to cover my nakedness. I need to cover my shame. Why? Because when you give in to temptation, shame comes, condemnation comes, fear comes, hiding away comes. And see, if we know his tactics, that when he springs them upon us, we can go, I know who that belongs to. And it's not to my father. It's to the father of this world, as Jesus called him. And you have to learn that your father can whip the father of this world. You have to know that. You remember, like, all my friends in school, like, and you know, you go there, my dad's a boxer and a karate expert, and I'm like, my dad can whip all your dad. My dad can batter your dad any day of the week. Do you remember? But it's real with our father. He can do anything. So what is our position in all of this? Colossians says, 1:13, for he, Jesus, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. That the Father takes us from the kingdom of darkness, where we were blinded, and he brings us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. How do we stand in light? Where do we stand in truth? What are we to live out of? The truth that has been revealed to us. Where do we stand out of the place that Satan is a defeated foe? I was up in the picture studio tonight. I love the way Hollywood does this. I'm like, and you know, you want to know who's under the systems of the world, look around the world. And me and Stephen Cassidy was up in the pictures, and we were sitting there, like this, real macho man. He brings on a movie. Two of us were holding each other like this. Terrified. It's called The Devil Within Us. Like an advert. That's not what we went to see. It was an advert. The Devil Within Me. I'm telling you, the fear in the pictures was palpable. It was, you could hold it, you could hang your coat on it. People all around that were eating the popcorn were frozen. Woman that had a demon in her, climbing up walls and all her face breaking out and jumping up and down. It's all designed for fear, because that's what the enemy has. And I was sitting down, I could feel it. It was on me. It was the fear. It was like, get this thing on me, Stephen. Will you get on my shoulder? I'm trying to get this off myself. Popcorn in the air. Me and Stephen looked at each other and went, truth, Stephen was here. He's in work, he'll tell you. And I thought, that's typical of the devil trying to get on the throne that he's ruling. That I'm the one to be feared. Look at all the power. And there's the poor priest. Every time I think of it, throwing holy water at him, getting spit at, as if the man of God was a weakle. And it's pumping out this thing. The church is no good. The God can't do anything. His representatives can't do anything. The devil's ruling and reigning. No wonder everybody was like, I thought two blokes on this side was trying to sit on my lap. I'm like, I don't want to have anything to do with this. I don't even know you. I don't mind Stephen sitting on me, but you're not sitting on me. Stephen couldn't sleep all night. That's what she's saying. He was up all night. No. But that's typical. That's the father of this world trying to get on the throne and rule with fear. But the Bible says he's defeated. That Jesus made a public spectacle of him. Made, and in the Dublin language, made a holy show of him. Made an absolute, he was mortified. As the girls are saying now, mortal. He was mortal. The picture is that like an enemy from Rome. That's the picture that was going by through the city with all of the enemy, all of the Rome's enemy and slaves and all of their spoils and all of the riches of the cities that they sacked and that they robbed everything and they took everything out. They bring all the generals through, and everyone in Rome is like looking and laughing at the opposition who they were bringing now as a spectacle. And they were bringing them through by Caesar. Caesar would have been looking at them like, that's my enemies. Now look at them. They're like dogs getting brought in on leads. That's the picture in Colossians, that Jesus took the enemy and made a public spectacle before all of heaven. You think you could have defeated me? You're nothing but a pup, a dog. And he says to us then, The picture in Colossians is, that's the enemy that comes against us. He's defeated. Yet he's not to be underestimated, but he's a defeated foe. And Paul says, stand firm. When he comes around, whoever said that, when he comes around, we stand firm. We put on the full armor. We put on truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We put on the gospel shoes. We put on the helmet of salvation. We lift up the shield of faith. And we take out the sword of the Spirit. We've been equipped to make sure he doesn't have his way. So that's our enemy. That's his tactics. And that's our position. Our position, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And the Bible says all things is under his feet. For who? For the church. So if all things is under his feet and we're in him, that means all things is under our feet. That we never, ever, ever have to come under subjection to the Father of this world. We never have to. I'm not saying we never do, but we never have to, because he has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. That's what Jay preached. So how do we advance? How do we break down the system of evil? How do we break down like things that we see that are steal, killing and destroying? We pray. I loved what the girl says earlier on. We prayed. How does the kingdom of God advance? Prayer. Claudia's last words to us, we need people to pray. How does the kingdom of God keep on advancing? We pray. Because when we pray, we put the King of Kings in his rightful place. And then everything else gets put in its rightful place. We know who he is and we know who our enemy is. We know that he's on the throne and the enemy is underneath his feet. That's why we pray. We don't pray to beg God. We don't pray to twist God's hand. We have a Father who gives good gifts to his children all the time. And when we put him on his rightful place, we know who he is, we know who we are, and we know who he is. When we don't put him on the rightful place, we tend to know who he is more than him. And then we get lost in the translation. My wife thought that was funny. She never laughs at my jokes. And that wasn't even a joke. We need to advance the kingdom by putting ourselves in the service of the King. We need to advance the kingdom by claiming back what he already redeemed. We need people to go into every strata of society, your workplace, education, serving in the cafe, being a doctor, being a taxi man, being a mother, and lay claim of what Jesus has already redeemed. That if you're working in the school, you pray for your school. I claim this place for Jesus. If you're working in a hospital, I claim this place for Jesus. If you're in a neighborhood and you're not working, claim the neighborhood for Jesus. Five people to the right of your house and five people to the left of your house. How does the kingdom advance? That we tell others about Jesus. That we move in the power of the Holy Spirit. That if someone's sick, I encourage you this week. In fact, I commission you this week. That if you see someone sick this week, ask them, can you pray for them? Advance the kingdom. Jesus says, this is how you'll advance the kingdom. Sickness will get healed and devils will get thrown out. I encourage you this week. I challenge you. I inspire you this week. I'm saying, go out into the city wherever you are, and if you see a need, say, can I ask, talk to my God about your need? Jesus told us to do that. Last Tuesday in our link group, a girl came in that got introduced to me. Do you know who this is? No, never met her before. And her name is Linda. She says, you don't know me, but 4 years ago I was dying. I was in ICU up in James's hospital. I was given up for dead. I was in a coma. They were going to pull the plug and they were going to just let me go. My family had my funeral organized. Someone asked Jay, the family knew Jay, would is this true? You can call me a lawyer in public if you want, but this is true. Jay came down, two of us went up, six people in the ICU. We laid hands on that girl who was out, gone. Laid hands. I remember that day. I remember we had faith. I remember we went up trusting God that we ended up praying for the other five. Father, raised them all up. Raised them all up. That was 4 years ago. She walks into the home group last week. I was like, there's Lazarus' sister. Lazarus' sister, where do you have to come from? Now, here's what I'm trying to say. That girl knows the kingdom of God advanced in her life. She knows that. So was it some magic on her behalf or the world greater than you? No, but see that distance between going up and her lying there? That little distance about believing God and praying for her? That's what caused it. It was God is in that little bit. That stepping out of the boat. That laying on of hand. That God responds to that. God advances the kingdom. In that moment, the kingdom of God was advanced. They couldn't believe it. I don't know whether you've met her again, Jay, but I've never met her again. When I was injured, I didn't know her. She was in bits in that bed. I'd love to go back to the annals of St. James's Hospital and find out the exact day that that happened, the exact week. I guarantee you the whole other five people were took up out of beds. I guarantee you no one died in that week. Such was God in that place. Well, how are we going to advance the kingdom? By stepping out. It's by, I will swallow my pride, my fear. I say, can I pray for you? I guarantee you no one in Ireland will refuse prayer. We're prayer maniacs in this country. The faith element is, can I pray for you now? Amen. Okay, let's wrap, let's land this. See God move. The kingdom of God is at hand. Listen to what Peter says. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. He's going to come around you. He probably already has been around you. But the Bible says, resist him. Stand firm in your faith. Because you know that even your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same types of suffering. He's saying, Peter is saying, okay, there is a devil. He does want to bring evil, but stand firm. Resist him. Resist him. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Resist him, and he will flee. And listen, and then he goes on to say, and the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, so you may go through a bit of a struggle in your resisting, but then after that, he himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. So if the enemy is being around you, his commitment to you, the Lord's commitment is, resist him. Yeah, you might take a few slaps. But then he comes, the Father, and he restores you. And the enemy has come and he's robbed some of us. The Father's promise is, I come and I'll restore that. I'll restore what the locust has eaten. I'll give you back over and above. That you won't know yourself. You'll walk into a mirror and you go, who am I? Because God has changed you so much. And if the enemy has a landing place, if he has a landing place, he'll always come back to torment you. And this morning I want to break some of those landing strips. He's had torment on you long enough. How does he get torment? You give him a bit of space. I'm amazed at the amount of people that has been in contact with the devil. And you're in this room. And you've made contact through Ouija boards and all types of occultic things. One young man said, he asked Jesus into his life and he says, the same way I asked Jesus into my life tonight is the same way I asked the devil to come into my life and ruin them until Jesus got a hold of him 4 weeks ago. You may have opened your door to torment. You may have opened it through many things. You may have opened it through drug addiction. Now you've given a leeway in. You may have opened it through unforgiveness. I'm telling you, you go to psychiatric wards and you see people sitting in absolutely drugged up to their eyeballs trying to forget everything. You know why? Unforgiveness. They don't know how to receive forgiveness from God. They don't know how to forgive others. And worst of all, they don't know how to forgive themselves. And that torment. You think you're punishing someone that hurt you, you're the only one that's being tormented. And God says, now I'll set you free from that. And I'll rip up that ground so that the enemy has no landing place for you anymore. I'll rip up the ground of other stuff because the enemy will have no landing place. And when he comes back, what did he say? Resist him. Resist him. And you might know there are ways that you've let that place of landing ground in, that place of torment that you struggle with, that you suffer with, that it's there for you. You know it's real. You know how real it is. You know the way it robs you from God. God wants to break it off. As he says, I will restore a new landing strip that he lands on. Because if the enemy has a landing strip, believe me, he just has a counterfeit landing strip to block off God's landing strip. So that God's freedom can roll in. God's airplanes can land. So how are we going to do this? If you feel, God knows. That's all who needs to know. But if you feel you've given any place for the roaring lion to roar and to torment you, you've in any way given ground, why don't you stand up and we pray and break it off you? Just quickly, just don't hesitate. Just you know, it's already been pumping around your heart. I don't need to whip you up or you just know I've given that place and there's times when I'm walking with God and he roars and I bolt. Amen. It's good when you know you're not on your own, isn't it? So here's what we're going to do. My goodness, Father. That one, we're in this together. That you are not on your own. And I want you to know from this moment that greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. Let's say that together. Greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. That my Father is greater than the Father of this world. And I reject every lie in the name of Jesus. I reject every open door that I've given to the enemy of my soul. I close it in the name of Jesus. I reject any agreement that I've made with the kingdom of darkness. And I come into total alignment with the purposes of God for my life. Father, I repent of every single thing that I have done to allow a landing strip to be in my life. I turn to you. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your strength. I receive your freedom. I accept you and your purposes for the rest of my life. I love you, Lord. Father, would you give me revelation of your love, and your kindness, and your freedom.